The Midnight Flight of Birds, written by Sageness and read by Tiny Pink Mouse. Maybe you should put that back where it belongs. Maybe you should make me. Caffrey's eyes practically twinkle at him in the dim glow of the museum's nighttime emergency lights. Caffrey. You know, you could call me Neil if you wanted to, Peter, Caffrey says, and this time he winks at him. They're in a closed wing of the Met, one of the corridors full of storage rooms or interns' offices. Peter doesn't know which. But Neil Caffrey knows this place like he's memorized the blueprints. Peter's chased him up and down over three stories and a sub-level, one end to the other. And now, Peter wastes a moment wondering how long Caffrey has known who he is, as a steel door marked No Admittance flies open. In a breath, it slams shut. And Caffrey is gone. Peter shouts into his radio for someone to give him the code for the keypad. But when he punches it in, it doesn't work. A security guard arrives, and it still doesn't work. And Peter has to take a long, long, long way around, while a tech reprograms the door. The item in Caffrey's pocket, the curator explains, is a small, rare, and priceless Andean artifact, a nude mother goddess not unlike the Willendorf woman, and the oldest of its kind found in South America. The sculpture is smaller than Peter's hand and, inconveniently for him, on loan from the National Museum of Peru. Hughes is on the phone with the State Department until midnight, quelling tempers while shooting baleful glares at the staff called in to deal with the Caffrey encounter. Peter files his report and is home by 1:30, resigned to accept that the kid has flown. The next day, however, the sculpture is back in its proper place, with a cluster of three blush-colored origami cherry blossoms at its side. Seriously? Elle doesn't even try to suppress her laughter when he tells her about finally meeting him face to face. How can you laugh? Peter feels a little wounded by her mirth. She squeezes his hand. Because he's flirting with you, honey. That's just too adorable. Peter eyes her doubtfully for a moment. Really? Peter could bet he knows where the anonymous tip came from. It's too big a coincidence and too significant that it didn't reach him even 10 minutes earlier. Right now he's forcing a fire door to a deep balcony 5 stories up, shoving aside a heavy planter Caffrey hauled over to block the door. Peter catches sight of him and his unwieldy burden. It's a painting worth about $10 million on the current market. And culturally, it's as important as the little sculpture he grabbed the last time. Peter sprints across the patio as Caffrey dodges furniture, heading toward what Peter guesses must be a fire escape. His heart's pounding. At last, at last. Caffrey, don't make me shoot you. Peter yells. A gust of wind picks up the painting like a kite and pulls Caffrey toward the edge of the parapet. Damn it, Neil, don't do this! Caffrey reaches the corner and looks over, looks back. Peter can't see what Caffrey sees, but he has to be judging angles and distance. Peter doesn't think he can make it, not with the painting in his arms. Peter takes 5 quick steps forward. If he can get to... Only Caffrey hangs the damn picture on the goddamn tree in the corner planter and jumps over the wall. Neil! Peter shouts. The wind has the painting again. Caffrey. Neil. The Hathaway's property. Neil. Peter rips the frame down with his left hand and with his right, he just brushes the back of Neil's hand as he falls. Falls. He lands with a clang too far below. He's sliding down another ladder. Then another. There's a hard landing, and then he's in an anonymous black car, too far down for Peter to see the plate, which is pulling into late-night traffic and is gone. He'd said one thing before he left. Sorry, Peter. But it wasn't snide or taunting. It was affectionate, and the look on his face was one of exhilaration and joy, despite his having to dump the loot. Peter picks up the painting and inspects it for damage. The frame is scraped, but otherwise it seems fine. You nearly had him, again, Hughes grumbles the following morning. Believe me, I know. The wind blowing away a $10 million work of art or catching Caffrey. Tough call. Not really, Peter lies. He couldn't have cared less about the painting, but losing it and Neil both would have brought on a bureaucratic shitstorm. And save the thing you can was so ingrained now, it was pure instinct. Easy call. Just tough luck. We'll get him next time. Peter next catches sight of Neil on a busy sidewalk. Peter's driving, stuck in traffic. Neil crosses the street, stops, makes deliberate eye contact with Peter, and walks to the entrance of a public parking garage. One illegal turn later, Peter's prowling up the concrete levels, 8, 9, 10, to the roof. He drives the circuit, missing Neil entirely until he's in the lane to go back down again. He backs up, parking diagonally across the drive. Neil takes off his hat, runs a hand through his breeze-ruffled hair, and replaces it firmly. It's gusty up here, even in the lee of the enclosed stair access. Peter gets out. Saunters over. I take it you wanted to talk. Peter checks his watch. You have 2 minutes before I read you your rights. Neil looks wounded for a second. And it might even be genuine. Peter's damned if he can tell any more. But then Neil's stepping closer, cupping Peter's face in his hands and laying one on him. Peter's mouth falls open in shock, and Neil takes advantage, kissing him fast and wet. When he pulls back, Peter blinks for a second, stunned. But he recovers in good time, he thinks, considering. What the hell? I've been wanting to do that for over a year, Neil says. He looks happy, thrilled with life and pulling off a new stunt, tying a new knot in Peter's understanding of the world. Peter shoves him hard enough to make him stumble back against the rough brick wall. You bastard! You think this is a game? More of the thrill of the chase for you to get off on? Peter, you don't get to do this. You do not get to fuck with me like this. Neil's shaking his head. It isn't like that. You aren't going to believe me, I know. But I promise it isn't like that. Peter sighs. You have the right to remain silent. At that moment, Peter's phone rings. And it's Elle's ringtone. You'll want to get that, Neil says knowingly. Peter cocks an eyebrow. Please, do you really think I'm going to sprint down 10 flights of stairs while you answer your phone? Peter presses the button to take the call. Sorry, it's a bad time, honey. I need to call you back. Do you know why there's a contractor on our doorstep, wanting to install a rooftop terrace on our house? She sounds baffled, angry, and all too much like she has no time for this. Wait, what? Peter puts a hand over his other ear, to hear her better over the noise of the city. Cars, boats, planes, echoes of car doors slamming floors below. It's never quiet anywhere. Elle repeats, enunciating slowly. There is a man here from Citywide Restoration. With plans to put a terrace on our roof. He says it's already been paid for. Peter realizes he's turned half away from Neil to focus on the call, when he senses motion from the corner of his eye. And just like that, Neil's gone. Peter lunges toward the open door of the stairwell and looks down, but it's empty. There's a clatter outside somewhere, though he can't quite tell from where. Peter goes back out and rounds the side of the structure, where he finds a ladder made of bent rebar jammed into the concrete. He hangs up on Elle, he'll explain later, and climbs up. There's no rail, only the corner of the roof and a narrow alley more than 100 feet below. And Neil, clambering down a scaffold, from an honest-to-God cable stretched across the way. He's still wearing his hat. He reaches a floor with tall windows and slides one up, He looks up then at Peter and waves. I don't know what I'm going to do, Peter says that night. Elle puts her arms around him and pulls him close under the blankets. I can't believe he jumped like that. For all I know, he was wearing a rappelling harness the whole time. Doubtful. It would have ruined the line of his suit. Peter snorts. That's what you notice. What about the damn kiss? She shrugs. Tell him next time I want to be there too. What? He may be prettier than me. He is not prettier than you. But I married you and I'm keeping you. Peter looks into her eyes, sees the steel there and the love. He shakes his head in amazement. After a minute he says, I don't know how I should feel about this. She purses her lips. That would depend on whether you're going to arrest him. He's a wanted felon, and my primary case. I can't protect him. But you're crazy about him. Peter laughs. He makes me crazy, Elle. I can't say that's the same thing. Elle smiles back. I love you. From everything you've shown me. I think Neil probably adores you too. God alone knows why. Oh, I know. Because he has good taste. And you're a worthy opponent because you can catch him. It wouldn't be any fun for him with someone less talented. She kisses his cheek. And he seems like a hopeless romantic. Peter mouths her shoulder. Doesn't mean I should let him do this. Make advances. Bribe me with major remodeling. Christ. Elle snuggles closer. You want to kiss him again, though. Oh, hell yes. She hums. Tell me again what it was like. Peter and Elle are staying at a little, antiquated inn. Not quite a B&B. Not quite a hotel. On a 3-day Montreal getaway. They haven't been here an hour yet, and Peter's had it up to here with Canadians pretending not to speak English, even if they are in Quebec. He knows for a fact that Quebecois kids have to learn both languages. But the concierge is busy with another guest, and suddenly Peter's plan to surprise Elle with tickets to a show or something evaporates like a bubble. She wants a relaxing weekend, and given that she speaks the language, he might as well leave it to her to decide their itinerary. But then Peter seals Neil on the stairs. He catches up to him on the landing and wraps a hand around Neil's right biceps and squeezes. Of all the people I didn't think I'd run into here. What, did you hack our reservations? Shh, don't make a scene, Peter. Let's go upstairs. Neil takes a step up, but Peter doesn't let go. I should arrest you right here. You can't. Jurisdiction. Extradition from Canada takes about 5 minutes. Peter. Neil's eyes are wry, frustrated, maybe a little tired looking. He tugs Peter upstairs with him. You'll know I'll escape if you do, and then you'll have an international incident to deal with. Just, no one has to know, okay? They make it to the second floor corridor, which is soft-lit with gold sconces. There's a plush dark patterned carpet under their feet and northern landscapes on the walls. Neil turns to him and touches Peter's face with his free hand. Will you introduce me to Elizabeth? Do you think she'll let me kiss you again? Peter narrows his eyes. Do you have me under surveillance? Neil looks confused. And genuinely so, as far as Peter can tell, not as if he's performing. You mean beyond watching for you to arrive? Do you or do you not know what she said about that kiss? Peter's suddenly aware of how tightly he's holding Neil's arm, but he doesn't let go. Neil shakes his head. Not explicitly, no. Peter looks at the ceiling, exasperated. Neil, what are you playing at? His voice is a lot louder than he meant it to be. Could we not do this in the hallway, please? Neil hisses. A door opens and Elle's head pops out. Honey? Oh my God! She looks from Peter to Neil and back and frowns. All right, get in here. Do I want to know how you knew we'd be here? Elle demands after the door bangs shut behind her. Neil looks sheepish. Probably not. Yeah, tell me anyway. The confirmation email. You hacked my email, she said, outraged. Sorry, he says, and finally does look sincerely apologetic. I had no right, obviously. I apologize. Never do it again. Elle folds her arms over her chest and does nothing but stare at Neil for a long moment. Elizabeth. Can I call you Elizabeth?
I...
Promise. Neil shoots her an irritated look. There are only so many ways I can safely make contact with you. Do you have our phone numbers? She asks. Do you want the FBI tapping your phone? Neil counters. She sighs. Neil, you're wanted by police all over the world, and you decide to follow Peter and me on vacation. To Canada. And not even the good part, Peter says. Hush, it's beautiful here, Elle says. I know you just got here, but you have to have noticed the architecture. Neil gestures broadly. He sounds positively scandalized. This city is beautiful. He looks from Peter to Elle. Look, if nothing else, let me show you around. Please? I know a little restaurant you'll love, and a dozen places you have to see while you're... Stop, she says. Why are you here? Neil looks at Peter as if for help, but Peter raises his hands. No way. This is all on you. Neil makes a face that as good as says, fine, be like that. To Elle he says, I wanted to meet you. I wanted to... He looks at Peter. Spend time with you in a more social environment. One that doesn't involve leaping from rooftops, Peter grouses. Neil beams. Yes. Elle looks like she is smiling despite herself. And if Peter knows her at all, she is choosing to let the breach of privacy lie. Hell, it isn't as if she hasn't heard what Neil's capable of. Her anger's fading fast under the onslaught of Neil's hopeful smile, and Peter's heart does a damn flip in his chest. His wife, his suspect. Neil glances over at Peter and his expression changes. Elle catches it and looks to Peter too. He blushes, and Elle winks at him where Neil can see her do it. Okay, I have an idea, she says. Or a suggestion, I guess. For some ground rules. First, no one's getting arrested. Not here, and not today. She looks at Peter, but he's not willing to agree yet, so he doesn't answer. Second, Neil, I want to know your interest here. Neil grins, then leers, then grins again with a smoky look in his eyes. Elle raises an eyebrow, but he holds her gaze and doesn't flinch. She doesn't look over at Peter, but that's okay. He knows the look on her face. It means she is amenable, more than amenable. Third, you have to... Wait, Neil says. He steps forward and takes her hand, folding it into both of his own. Know that Peter wants you, she blurts. Elle, Peter protests. And she and Neil both turn to look at him. It's very, very mutual, Neil says, eyes fixed on Peter. Then he looks back at Elle. What do you want to do? She sighs. Look, Peter has a lot to lose if there's ever the slightest implication that he let you get away. Much less meet up with you in a hotel in another country. And engaged in things we have yet to be guilty of, yes. She nods. Neil says. But it would be my word against yours, and no one can prove I've been here. What? Peter asks. I'm not a registered guest, and their only working security camera is over the cashier's counter. Really? Peter moves closer. He has Elle in full view and a great view of Neil's back in his long-sleeved shirt and black trousers. Really? Neil says. He's still holding Elle's hand. How you get across the border? Peter's close enough to smell his skin. close enough to reach out and rub his thumb up the back of Neil's neck. Neil shivers under his hand. "I drove," he says. "Only the highways have border patrol. There are plenty of old back roads that go through." Peter steps forward again, closing the space. His mouth grazes Neil's left ear, and Peter breathes in expensive cologne in Neil. "I am so compromised here." He's looking at Elle, but speaking to them both. "Neil, it's going to kill me to send you to prison." "Peter, no," Neil says, and Elle's hands hold him fast where he is, while Peter kisses Neil's neck. "You have to give me something small. Something you can plead down to a short sentence and be out in no time. Do you understand?" "No." Neil pulls free of Elle's hands and turns to face him. Elizabeth said no arrests. His eyes are hard, completely serious. "Not today. I'm off duty, out of my jurisdiction. And I don't even speak the same language as local law enforcement. The last thing I want right now is to send you to jail." "But Neil..." Peter cups Neil's face in his hands and kisses him hard. Neil moans gratifyingly and Peter says, "I could put you away for 20 or 30 years, if I had enough evidence. I don't. But I could if I got lucky or you did something stupid." "I won't." Neil shivers, and Peter realizes Elle has wrapped her arms around him from behind. "I have to keep chasing you, though. Every priceless knick-knack you steal. Every painting you forge. What am I going to do?" Neil smiles and Peter strokes his cheeks. "You'll never catch me." Peter shifts his weight, nudges a knee between Neil's and pushes in. He can feel exactly how aroused Neil is, and Neil knows too. "I'd say you're pretty well caught." Neil's eyes fall shut. "You won't have enough to convict?" Peter lets his teeth graze Neil's neck as Elle pets his chest. "I caught you with that sculpture in your hand, and the painting. I never removed them from their owner's premises." Peter blinks. "Christ, that defense would blow their whole case apart." "But you intended." Neil strokes Peter's back. "Maybe I only intended to lure you where I could see you." "I told you he was flirting with you." Elle's laugh is warm, involved, and when she stands on tiptoe, Peter kisses her over Neil's shoulder. Neil's a tight-strung wire against him, between them, and Peter finds himself caressing Neil's neck while kissing Elle. The sensation amazes him. Then Neil grinds forward against him. Peter breaks off the kiss with a gasp. "Elle," he says. "Mm-hmm." She slips around to Peter's side and pulls Neil down for a kiss. "Whatever you and Peter do, understand that I'm part of it. Always." "Absolutely," Neil says, touching her face, her hair, her back. "Tell me what I can give you." Peter's surprised at Neil's urgency, but maybe he figures pleasing Elle is the best way to get what they all want. He probably isn't wrong. She smiles. "Oh, a lot, believe me. I've been hearing all about you for a long time, and I'm looking forward to knowing you in person. But you can start with Peter. The two of you have a lot of stuff to work out." "You're sure?" She pecks his lips, arms around his neck. "Do you love him?" Neil betrays a glance at Peter, then faces her. "It took me completely by surprise. But yes, and now it won't go away." He pauses. "And I don't want it to." Peter tries to catch Elle's eye, but she won't look at him. He isn't sure what she's doing, isn't sure how worried to be. He never imagined Neil would. Then she says, "Kiss me, like you want to kiss him." Neil takes her in his arms and takes her mouth, kissing her long and deep, like nothing else exists in the world. "Jesus," Peter says. And when they pull apart, Peter has to spin Neil where he stands and take that same kiss for himself. Dimly, he becomes aware of Elle's voice saying, "Okay, scratch talking. Bed, now." As Neil's hands slide up under his shirt, tugging fabric out of the way, and, oh, skin. "Clothes off," Neil says, and moments later they're a tumble of mostly naked bodies, kissing and stroking and wriggling free of the last sock, the last scream of underwear. Peter feasts his eyes, his wife, gorgeous, flushed, naked, touch-hungry, and Neil, lithe and erect, his cock a little wet already, impatient, beautiful. They're kissing, the two of them. Their hands are skimming over each other's bodies, learning dips and curves and lengths. Peter doesn't hear himself moan, but he sees Elle start and meet his eyes with a guilty look, as if she thinks she's taken something away from him by going for Neil first. He shakes his head and Neil says, "Peter," picking up the silent conversation. But Peter presses a hand to Neil's shoulder and weaves in through their knees until he can lean over them, feeling them. Then he stops hovering and gives them some of his weight. His cock rubs against them both and they each wrap an arm around him, pulling him down. He kisses Neil first because his face is just a little closer. He kisses Elle next because they all feel the jolt of arousal shoot through her from them kissing in her arms. And then, the way she and Neil look together, kissing and tasting each other, it's all Peter can do to remember how to breathe. Sometime later, with Peter thrusting into Elle as they take turns licking and sucking at Neil's cock, he feels Elle start to shudder in a violent, bed-shaking orgasm. Peter stills himself and grasps Neil's hips, keeps him where Elle needs him, with his cock nearly in Elle's throat. Peter kisses Neil's belly, his navel, his hip, and holds on to Elle's right hand, holding everything perfectly still as she shakes and moans. Finally, within her body, she starts to relax the death grip she has on Peter's erection, and she stretches her legs. Neil eases himself free from her mouth and gives her space to breathe. Elle rolls her hips then, the ghost of a wicked gleam lighting her eyes, and Peter moans. Neil asks, "Are you close?" and kisses him, hard and messy. Peter thrusts hard into Elle without intending to, and she grunts, pushing at his chest. "Stop. Too much. I need..." "Oh crap, sorry honey, I..." He pulls out, brushing an apologetic kiss over her mouth. He sees that she is fine, and then kneels on him, pushing Peter down onto his back, and kissing him with what feels like years of accumulated longing. Neil's stronger than he looks, and Peter loves the way he feels, loves the lean line of his body and the urgent grinding against each other's hips. But Peter just left tight, wet heat, and he needs that pressure back. It takes a heartbeat for Peter to align their cocks and get his hand in a slick circle around them. Neil curses into his mouth, and Peter laughs, ridiculously pleased at reducing him to profanity. Neil keens as Peter strokes harder, faster. "Next time," Neil says, "you have to be inside me. You have to." "Yes, oh fuck yes," is what Peter gasps out before he's aware of nothing but heat and touch and pleasure, and everything goes blank. Then, slowly, his brain comes back online. And he knows, first, that he feels fantastic. He has Neil in his arms and Elle at his side. Neil has a bite mark on his shoulder that could only have come from Peter. He realizes, second, that he's going to have to find a way to keep this. There's never time for the big trips Elle wants to take, but little ones like this. He can't. Peter holds Neil tighter in his arms. Neil lifts his head and smiles at him, and then kisses him softly on the lips. Then he leans sideways and kisses Elle. Elle hums, contented, and pulls Neil down to lie between them. Peter rolls, following. His cock snugs into the hollow of Neil's ass, and he can't wait to find out what that feels like. Later, today, if he's lucky. He leans over Neil to kiss Elle, loving her more this second than maybe ever before. And he's a wet, sticky mess, but they all are, and for now they can stay here, drowsy and sated. He's all too aware that soon enough, Neil will have to run, and Peter will have to chase him, and eventually he'll have to actually catch him. But in the meantime they can have something. An afternoon, a weekend, maybe more if they're careful. They're all smart. Surely they can manage careful. I can hear you thinking, Neil says. Peter smiles against his neck. Good. Yeah. Elle smiles at them both. By which I think he means, how long can you stay? Neil starts to tense, and Peter lays a kiss next to his ear. Almost. What I mean is, stay as long as you like. I can't. Shh, Elle says. We have now. We can worry about the rest later. Neil kisses his assent, even as Peter can practically hear him thinking. Planning, he hopes. We'll figure something out, he whispers into Neil's hair. Neil hooks an ankle around Peter's leg. As good a yes as any.